thank you. Isaiah 58, open up there. Isaiah 58 will be there in just a moment. High school choir is coming to sing for us. And if you brought your handout from 2 weeks ago, we'll finish it tonight. We'll get you covered if you didn't, okay? So the handout on productive fasting, find it, Isaiah 58. After the song, we'll jump into the lesson. Tonight. That's great. You don't know it, but you're looking at the undefeated flag football team, 2-0, only two teams in the conference, us and them, but I'd rather be 2-0 than 0-2. Amen. And it wasn't even close. It was 34-50-13. We even got a guy that can kick extra points. Right through the uprights, man. Field goals and everything. Victor, he thinks it's a soccer ball, but it's really a football. We just paint it black and white and make it look like a soccer ball, but he kicks it through the uprights. That's fun. That's a good bunch. I appreciate him. You know, there's one of those young people in the high school that is actually working to help pay their own way because they want to be in the Christian school. And that is, that touches my heart. All right. If you do not have the handout from 2 weeks ago, we have one for you tonight. So, fellas, you have those? You don't have those? You do have those. Okay. All right. So, nobody was moving. So, keep your hand up, and we will be ready to go here in just a moment. Keep it up. You see who all the people are who make paper airplanes out of their handouts. I am getting stuffy. We do not have any air moving? Is it? Are you just getting to it, Joe? Thank you. Turn on a little air. Get bodies in here and people, and starts warming up. Amen. We got a massive section right down here that has no sheets. Are we out? Got any upstairs, Brian? None? Three. Okay. Well, sorry. Look almost at any of you couples each have one you can share with some of these folks that didn't get one? Anybody else? All right. There's a couple of them. Pass them back. Everybody get one that needed one or close to one nearby. Let's pray. Father, we're glad to be here tonight. I thank you for the encouragement I've just received from the good music. Thank you, God, from the opening song that we enjoyed and just even now this special. So I pray that you, Lord, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the privilege to have church. And these folks that are coming out on Wednesday night, in Jesus' name, amen. Tom, I think maybe what the problem is the monitors are either not on or not up to where they are supposed to be. That's why I'm hearing everything out front and not up here. Maybe they got unplugged. Now, I'm going to do just a quick review on this matter of fasting, productive fasting, based on the lesson that Brother Leisure taught here now 3 Wednesday nights ago. And then, of course, I followed it up. And then last week, we were still in Belarus preparing to return. And so we're just going to go over these and then get into the new material for tonight. Number one, there is a kind of fasting that does not get God's blessing. And the Bible talks about that kind of fasting here in Isaiah 58. Number two, unproductive fasting includes a fasting as a ritual. They went through their day without food, but also without a burdened heart. And there's no sense in that, folks. If you're going to fast, you might as well have something to fast for and be burdened about it. Okay, it's not just ritual. Letter B, fasting for the opportunity to condemn others. And instead of using the fast to judge themselves, they were using it to judge others. That's not a proper motive for a fast. In other words, they were saying, we feel like there's a problem here and it merits our fasting, and the problem is you, okay? Letter C, fasting to make a public impression. That is not a productive fast. It was supposed to be a day of focusing attention on the Lord, not of drawing attention to themselves. So they had it backwards, okay? And that's an unproductive fast. Now, number three is just the opposite of each one of those. So productive fasting includes letter A, a sincere heart. Letter B, self-judgment. And C, focusing attention on God. So that's as far as we... No, we got the next section too, that's right. And if I'm going too fast, I'm sorry, I just want to get to the new material. Practical suggestions. Number one, we said to use a food fast to remind you to pray. Based on the question that somebody asked my wife, because at the end of Justin's message, I mentioned that my wife fasts usually every Wednesday. And, of course, she didn't do that. We didn't do that over in Belarus. But somebody asked her, do you just pray all day? No, she lives and goes through a normal day, but you use the hunger pains that you feel when you're normally eating to remind you to pray, okay? And that's what you do. So use a food fast to remind you to pray. Don't advertise that you are fasting. No sense in wearing a long face, drawing attention to it. Just do it, okay? Number three, use common sense. We talked about, if you've got medical issues. Oh, and by the way, because many of you asked about Brother Irvin, they found out that it was a pituitary gland problem. It was easily solved, and he went home. He's catching up on sleep. He went about 7 days with little or no sleep, so he's just worn out. But physically, he's going to be all right, and that's good news. Use common sense. If you're a diabetic, you have to be careful about this matter of fasting. You've got to use some common sense. And then number four, start simple. I encourage people, I think I did it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was now, 2 weeks ago, start with one meal a day. And if you have to eat due to diabetic or other conditions, then change what you eat. Do a fruit fast. Once again, I think I mentioned at the end, God is not a hard taskmaster. And He's not ugly, and He's not God. Again, folks, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. A fast is a step toward God. And believe me, any way we do it, God's going to respond. Because that's His nature. You draw nigh to Him, He'll draw. He is not a recluse. He's not hidden off in some corner, hide and seek, catch me if you can. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to bring these matters to Him. So You know, use common sense and start simple and just rejoice that you've got a very benevolent God. Not some hard case, okay? Now, I'm going to give you tonight five legitimate spiritual reasons to fast. And this is not my opinion. This is found in the text in Isaiah 58, verse number 6. Here's what the Lord said. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? And now He's going to number for us, if you will, or speak to us about the kind of fast that pleases Him, that is a productive fast. And so we're going to just take it as it comes here. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Question mark. Here's the first one. Number one, to loose the hands, the bands of wickedness. So I said the first one here is to loosen the grip of sin. To loosen the grip of sin. To loose the bands of wickedness. Now, people, you know this. I'm not talking to the unknowledgeable people tonight. Sin has a constricting grip on a person's life. I've been fascinated lately to listen carefully to the hymns that we sing. Many of the hymns make reference to the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ not only forgives us and saves us, but it helps us conquer the power of sin. Okay, we have that beautiful song that we sing every now and again. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. One of those verses, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. No matter if you're saved or not, sin still has a constricting grip on a person's life. If we let it, it has power, and it can literally put the clamps on people. Okay? And, you know, if you're dealing with something like that, now, I think this is a proper and productive reason to fast and ask God to help loosen the grip of sin. Now, I'll say this tonight. There are situations where sins are passed down from generation to generation. We call them generational sins. Generational sins. The Bible, that a sin was a way of life for a family. The Bible speaks of the iniquity, listen to this, of the fathers being visited to the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now that's incredible. Now, let me tell you what this does not mean. This does not mean that God punishes children for father's sin or grandfather's sin. What it is saying is that sin gets a grip on a family. And if a family doesn't conquer it, that sin is passed down to the children, and they carry that sin into their lives as adults, and their children pick up on it, and that this, it's a generational sin that just goes from generation to generation to generation to generation. And sometimes the sin gets a grip on the family. It's passed down like that with the strength of the sin, sometimes increasing. Fasting can help break the grip of generational sins. I wrote that on, that's on your paper. Fasting can help break the grip of generational sins. I think drunkenness is a generational sin. Man, you find out, I was just recently talking with somebody, and I forget who it was now, and it was about a situation out in the previous ministry out in Iowa, and I had worked with a family that the dad was just he was a drunk. And he'd come to church, he'd try to sober up, and then, you know, and he was the one who sat in all of us bawling after, you know, striking his wife and treating his kids like crazy. And, you know, I just can't go by the tavern, my car just pulls right in. And I just found out recently in conversation with somebody that his dad was the same way. It's a generational sin. It's passed down from one generation to the other. You know, it's not. And by the way, I think one of the telltale generational sins is bitterness, and that only stands to reason based on what the Bible teaches about it. The Bible says if you're bitter, it only troubles you. It's one or the other. It either defiles us and troubles those around us, or troubles us and defiles those around us. Bitterness can be passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. We're talking generational sins that aren't dealt with, Okay? People just sweep them under the rug, you know, live with them, never get victory. And the kids grow up in that environment and they take it on and they just pass it on to their kids. And it just goes from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to loosen the grip of sin. Now, this might be for yourself. It might be for a loved one. It might be for a generational sin. As you look at your life, your history, you think, you know what? I'm having the same troubles that my parents had and their parents had and their parents. You might have a generational issue here that needs some fasting. This kind. So to loosen the grip of sin. You know, when Ben was going through that 4-month period when he was just out of his mind and rebellious and wrong, you know, one of the things that I think my wife and I bought, no, she did, and I'm pretty sure I joined her some back then, was we fasted for him. And I really believe that played a big part in it. Jesus said, and you know, and I said 2 weeks ago, I remind you that the thing that really jumped out at me as I sat out there listening to Justin was that these disciples had previously been given power over devils and had previously cast them out. But this time they couldn't. This kind. It's a certain type. Okay? So to loosen the grip of sin. Fasting can help break the grip of generational sins. Number two, let's just keep reading here in verse number 6, to undo the heavy burdens. So I wrote number 2, a legitimate reason to fast is to lessen the weight of heavy burdens. To lessen the weight of heavy burdens. Look, it goes without saying that sometimes people are placed under the burden of circumstances that are not the result of personal sin. We have people in our church here who deal with heavy burdens because of the consequences of sin that they didn't commit. It wasn't them. It was other people. And because other people committed these sins, and all sin has consequences, they deal with the heavy weight of that particular sin. And a time of fasting can help lessen the weight. And the truth of the matter is, worded wrongly, it's the same load, but the weight is not as great. And you know why it is? Because God helps you carry it. God helps you carry it. So, you know, sometimes those consequences aren't going to change. And the results of bad choices by other people, you know, can't be undone. They are what they are. And as a result, those burdens get heavy, weigh you down, and they're not changing. You spend a little time in fasting and prayer, and God can lessen the weight of heavy burdens, give you the strength to carry the load. You say, well, you know, somebody who's going, you know, there are people placed under the burden of circumstances for which they are not responsible. You say, Pastor, they need somebody to talk to. You know what? I agree with you. Yes, they do. But what they really need help with, they could really use God to give them the strength to make the load feel lighter. And that's what God said, that's an acceptable spiritual reason to fast. Number 3, keep going in verse number 6, to let the oppressed go free. So I wrote on number 3 here, to free from satanic oppression. To free from satanic oppression. To let the oppressed go free. Now, folks, a person who is saved cannot be possessed by a devil. It is impossible for the Holy Spirit and a devil spirit to dwell in the same temple together. It doesn't happen. So, but saved people can come under the oppression of Satan, and the results are basically the same. The results are basically the same. This was the boy in Mark chapter 9 that the daddy brought to Jesus, that brought to the disciples. He was oppressed by a devil. This is this kind of situation that can only be dealt with by prayer and fasting. I've said it before, remind you again, doesn't hurt to hear it over and over again, that there are certain sins that are the devil's stronghold. And when you mess with those, you're messing more with just a disobedience to God. You are messing with a stronghold of Satan. Rock music is a satanic stronghold. You got a child or, you know, somebody you love under the influence of rock and roll music, and a fast will help that, possibly turn that. And I'm telling you, folks, look, we downplay the fruits of the wrong kind of music. We downplay it. Do you listen? You look at. I mentioned on Sunday night this contemporary Christian music. I don't back up from those comments. I believe with all of my heart, contemporary Christian music is nothing more than an excuse for some people to just listen to rock music. That's all it is. It is the beat. It is the music. You take the words out completely, and you've got rock music. You've got music that if it was just played to an innocent bystander, they would place it in the genre of rock and roll music. Because that's what it is musically. It can't be changed. That's what it is. And so you've got, and then you look at all the things that, you know, we talk about that's going on in the Christian world today, the alcohol and the partying and the tattoos. Do you understand what all of that is? The fruit of the wrong kind of music. It all starts with music. Folks, Exodus 32. When Moses was on the mount, and God said, you're going to have to go down. The people have made themselves vile and take care of business. And Moses and Joshua start down the mountain. And Joshua said, my goodness, man, it sounds like a battle down there. Somebody's fighting a war. And Moses said, that's not the sound of those that are shouting the victory. And that's not the sound of those that are moaning the defeat. That is the sound of what? Singing that I hear. So what's the first thing mentioned? Music. And when he got down there, they were dancing. And when he got down there, they were naked. Now, I'll promise you, I believe with all of my heart, they didn't start with nakedness. They didn't start with dancing. They started with music. Look at the 60s, 70s. You say, man, what was the 60s and 70s full of? It was rampant, you know, just drug abuse and rebellion and all the protesting and the immorality. Those were all the results of the music. It's powerful. And it gets a grip on people. And this is the things that are showing up in the contemporary Christian music scene. You know, it's just the fruit of the wrong music. Now I'm telling you something. And look, we got people in here. You lean toward the CCM. I know you do. And you're playing with something you don't understand the power of. Because just because they doctored up with a little Jesus and saved and blessed the Lord, oh my soul, doesn't make it musically different. It's rock music. By its definition. The way it's written. The way it's sung. And we are not going to youth conferences in former, you know, in independent Baptist churches that are going that direction. We're not going to youth conferences that paint everything, that hang black paper up and have a CCM concert. It's a little bit alarming to me. It's a little bit alarming. And you'd be surprised at all this tattoo stuff. You'd be shocked. It's not real. But it's all, the root is the CCM. That's what it is. Now, fasting could be productive in helping to free from that type of sin. And then you've got pornography, the same thing. You've got a satanic stronghold in pornography. You've got drugs. You've got occult practices. All of those are sins that carry heavy satanic oppression. All of it. I think I even put some on there. Yes. Rock music, pornography, rebellion, drugs, or occult practices are all sins that carry heavy satanic oppression. People come, I don't know what I'm going to do about my child. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, either they're at home or they're gone. In some cases, they look, you know, and they're gone. What can I do? Well, folks, you don't want to live in denial. That doesn't do any good. And you don't want to justify it. That's not going to help. You say, well, I don't have anything I can do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Give up a meal. Do a fast. Specifically. And say, God, I'm doing without today. And I feel this hunger pain. I'm doing without today because I need your help to free this person from satanic oppression. Please. Whatever it is. Okay? So to loosen the grip of sin, I told an adult today, what do? I don't know what to do anymore. You fast. This kind, when everything else hasn't worked, this may be an opportunity to see God move on your behalf, okay? So to free from satanic oppression, that's one good thing that is it's a spiritual reason to fast, okay? It says right here in verse number 6, to let the oppressed go free. And by the way, you know, the sad part about it is, people who are under that oppression don't even realize it. They think they are free. They're shackled so bad. Shackled so bad. So to help to free from satanic oppression. Number 4, to break a yoke. To break a yoke. You see that there at the end of verse number 6, and that ye break every yoke. So that's strange. What would that include? Well, that would include situations, I think, where people are involved in relationships in which they should not be involved. You know, you got a child that's, you know, in a relationship with a child they shouldn't, another person they shouldn't be involved with. Now you say, well, yeah, they're married the wrong one. Well, that can't be broken. Okay? Their hearts have led the way instead of their heads. Their hearts have left them, and they've embraced somebody, not physically, but emotionally, that they should never have embraced. And to break the yoke, this might include, you know, governments who are overbearing and attempt to stifle the work of a church or Christian people. This is maybe when countries place unnecessary yokes on missionaries who are attempting to buy land or stay in country or do some kind of business in the country. And that's what I told Ben. He's got to do something. They're full. They've just kind of stalemated, and he's got to do something. And land is horribly priced. $150,000 for like not even 4/10 of an acre. And I look at that place and I wonder, you got to be kidding me. It's a fourth world country, but it's the capital city. And I told Ben, I said, and it just can't get anything done. You know, buy a property or buy a building or rent. I said, Ben, you may have to fast. Break the yoke, okay? To break a yoke. So fasting may help to break those yokes. And then number 5, the last one is actually found in verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, to help meet the needs of others. A spiritual reason to fast is to help meet the needs of others. So you're not really fasting for yourself or your own interest. You're fasting for somebody else. You know, that is extremely unselfish. That's the height of sincere care for other people. You know, and I guess, you know, yes, your children, but this doesn't have to be your kids. This could be somebody else that you're not related to. Has a tough time, and you could ask, do a fast, and specific reason to help meet the needs of others. You know, I remember years ago, we had a child that had started to give their heart away. Not really started to, but the potential was to give the heart away to a person that I was not going to let it happen. I just sat down and said, look, either this is going to have to be broken off. Either you're going to tell them or I'm going to tell them, but this is going to have to be broken off. And the tears flowed, and it was very sad, very downcast, very quiet for several days. And I don't know if I even knew it, but my wife went on a fast for that particular child. And that's when we had that watch night service and went skating down there in the ice rink with Brother Woodward's church, and Abby took up with Alan. The rest is history. My wife fasted for her. It wasn't for her, although that's pretty close to your heart. So I'm just saying, you know, people, that, you know, when you think you've reached the end of your rope, I don't know what to do. I don't know what else I can do. Have you tried productive fasting? And I'm not standing up here tonight guaranteeing you that God will change the situation around. I remember fasting some Wednesdays for my brother when he had cancer. He died of cancer. That was God's divine purpose and plan for his life. No amount of fasting was going to change that. Okay? But there are some things that the devil has a strong grip on and just need extra. You know, is it you men, that military guys, you know more far more than I do. I know the Army has the Green Beret and the Rangers. And the Navy has the SEALs. And the Air Force has the Pararescue. I don't know if the Marines have or if they're just... they're just an elite unit themselves, okay? I don't know how it works. What do we call those? Special forces. Those are specific, those are for specific tasks that the regular, the normal Army guy is not trained for. And the regular Navy guy is not trained for. And the regular Air Force guy is not. The guy that taught me how to win souls, Tony Keelan, took me under his wing down there in Tennessee. He was a former pararescue. They go down and get, they go in and get the downed pilots out. Called pararescue. It's a specialized force for specific tasks that are unique, harder, more difficult. You know, when they take out Osama bin Laden, Navy SEAL team, what was that, six? Special forces. And I believe that's what Brother Justin was talking about in the text that he used when Jesus, they came to him with a proper question. Why couldn't we cast these devils out? We have before this kind. This is special forces. Special forces needed. Okay? Thank God we got, thank God there's a Green Beret. And thank God there's a Navy SEAL team. And thank God there's pararescue. Physically. For our well-being. Thank God there's spiritual special forces that we can call on. Okay? And so this is it. This is the last lesson on it. I wasn't going to belabor it, but I felt like there was so much interest created by Brother Leisure's message on it. And as I told you 2 weeks ago, it had been 10 years since I had taught something similar to this. So I redid it. And, just hoping to help you. And let it, folks, the worst thing in the world to do is just throw your hands up and say, well, nothing. No. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. Let it inspire you and motivate you to do that. Let's stand together. We're done a little bit early, but this was a shorter lesson because I thought the missionary brother was going to be here tonight. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Lord, please, I thank you for this passage in the Gospels that tells us about this kind. And then, Lord, this companion passage in Isaiah where we're kind of told a little bit about what kind of things we ought to fast for. When we face these special situations that require special forces, the opportunity to fast and pray and see you work is such a gift. Thank you for it. And Lord, when we do it, help us to do it in a way that's productive and not selfish at all. And Lord, maybe even tonight, stir somebody's heart. And maybe down the road, somebody will have a testimony someday, just a word about how maybe a situation was turned. As they began to fast and pray. And Lord, help us to know when, not to make it ritual, but to put our hearts in it. And we'll thank you for it. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Ladies, just a moment.